Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
So that was pretty fun because I'm the only one who got to hear the intro, so it was just awkward silence for you three. I feel like I was in on a super secret or something. That was fun. Anyway, Jared.
Oh, we knew that at this point, though.
But it was still fun for me, though. I don't know.
Maybe
it should be.
It wasn't a secret,
but it was.
Though. You were in on something we weren't, but I knew what was going on. I don't feel like secret's the right word.
For all you know, I didn't play the intro. I could have played, you know, Jabba Flow.
I kind of hope you did.
No, I do too. Anyway, and I can't take it back because we're live. So, Andrea, Jared, and Mark, all three of you are here. And how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Tim?
I'm going to pause and wait for Jared to answer first.
I'm doing all right.
All right. So, I'm doing well. Thank you. And we do have some cool stuff to get to tonight. We did not have our episode last week, which means that we are going to be talking about the Solo trailer. And we're going to be discussing something about some new Star Wars movies coming out as well. So I don't think we're going to be doing, and unless the three of you overrule me on this, I don't think we're going to be doing a, like, you know, play-by-play of the trailer. Because A, I don't think you guys want to do that. And B, if
you... Still news, right?
Well, and plus, if you wanted to get that, odds are you've already heard that from a different podcast or you've just done it yourself. So...
It opens up.
You've actually come to this podcast
listening.
To listen to Andrea talk about Vanderpump Rules in relationship to the Solo trailer.
Okay. So... What I'm going to do is I'm just going to say, Jared, what did you think of the Solo trailer?
Yeah, I liked it. I think I just wanted to be more blown away, but I also feel like some of it's just the reality of the situation, you know? Like everything else that we've gotten so far, there's been situational and other reasons why I've been excited in addition to any quality to the trailer. You know, the reason why Force Awakens or Last Jedi were exciting is because of this ongoing story, and Rogue One was something new, even though I knew the ending. It was new characters, and it was being introduced to something new. Whereas, like, now it's just new versions of the same characters for the most part. There is a lot of new stuff in there. There's all these new characters introduced. But at the same time, because it is a Han Solo origin story, I feel like there's less oomph for me. I'm into it, and I think that the most pleasing aspect of it to me is that it feels kind of like a heist movie. But I have to say, I was definitely hoping that I'd be like more blown away, because a lot of people had made the point that, oh, once you get a trailer, everyone will have the same reaction, everyone will freak out. But I didn't really feel like I had that typical response that most of the big fans have seemed to have had the last three films for their initial trailers and teaser trailers. And I didn't feel like, I don't know. I'm not negative at all. Like, it's not like it's a bad thing, but I'm just much more lukewarm and apathetic about it than I thought I would be.
See, you sound like me after the first Rogue One trailer, because I was expecting to be blown away by it, and it was great and I liked it, but I wasn't floored. And it seems like everybody else pretty much was. So I get what you're saying about that.
Although this does seem like of all of them to have the most mixed reaction, you know?
Like, yeah.
Although Rogue One had a bit of a mixed reaction, I just don't see any, I don't know. I didn't see it as much of the same level of just like, meh. And some people came in with that attitude and were never going to have any, they were never going to be amenable to it being any different and open to changing it, and that's just the reality. I have bias, as everybody does, about some things in some situations. So, but at the same time, like, I feel like there's people I know, and I feel like I wanted to like it and wanted to have give it a chance, and I did. And I almost feel like it is a negative just being lukewarm, like, because I was so eager to be excited about it, I don't feel badly because I just wasn't blown away, but I was really expecting to be.
Well, and like, I also feel like there's a part of us, whether knowingly or not, that kind of compares first teasers or first trailers or whatever to the November 14 one we got for The Force Awakens, the very first Disney era trailer, because that trailer was completely 100% hype without giving anything away, obviously. So I feel like with all the first impressions we get from the movie since then are compared to that like pure hype machine that we got. You know, even if we don't intend it to be, that's our initial experience with the current generation of Star Wars movies and their first trailers. So, I mean, I don't know. Andrea, what did you think about it?
The trailer? I thought it was fine. I liked Donald Glover, obviously. I liked his capes. I liked Chewbacca. I liked that someone made a meme of the Millennium Falcon above the before and after, and someone replied saying, I don't remember who said this, but someone replied saying, this is what smoking does to your lungs. And it made me laugh because it's true.
I think I saw Anthony Bresnikan tweeted that.
I don't know, but it made me laugh. So good job, whoever did that. Emilia Clarke looks as wooden as ever, but she's pretty, so it's okay. The guy who plays... What? I'm just going through all my thoughts.
That's just grim.
that's how her... Listen, if anyone is really out here saying she's a good actress, I'm sorry. You think she's pretty, and that's fine. She's very pretty, and she seems like a nice person, and I really wish she was better at acting than she is, but she's not good at acting. Like, it's just a black and white fact. There's nothing to debate about that. She's just not a good at acting, but she's so pretty, so it's okay.
I'm glad you can get away with saying
what?
Why nothing.
Wouldn't I be able to?
You can get away with saying
it's
that.
It's just a fact. She's just not. She's just wooden.
Do you watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah, I love Game of Thrones.
Mm. Well, there goes my theory.
And he's my favorite character in the books. What'd you say?
I said, there goes my theory.
Oh, no, I love Game of Thrones. And I love Dany, the character. But she's just not a good actress. Like, it's fine. Not everyone has to be amazing.
Okay, well then, besides Donald Glover, who was your favorite in the trailer then?
Donald Glover's cape.
Yeah.
It was pretty good, but there weren't enough dragons.
I can second that, yeah.
The other two side characters that are not Emilia Clarke, I don't know their names though.
Woody Harrelson?
Yeah.
That's his name. Yeah. No, his character's name, we already knew one of we already knew Beckett, but
Tobias?
His first name. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Name is Tobias.
His name is Tobias Beckett. Like it's so regular, and that's the thing that kind of bugs me is like he's not Luke Smith, he's Luke Skywalker. You know what I mean? Like that's the deal with Star Wars. You get a space name with a regular name. He could be, you know, like Bebop Phillips, and I'd be like, that works, whatever. But I feel like, no, dude, I like Tobias Beckett could have been a guy I went to church with as a kid.
Tobias.
Like,
even
some old, think... that's my friend's great grandpa. No, nope.
The whole time I watch this movie, I'm just going to think of Arrested Development.
And how he just blew himself.
What?
Yeah. What'd you guys
Tobias.
Think
he,
of.
He blew man groups himself.
What'd you guys think of Short Han?
Well,
Short Han?
Well, first, overall, we didn't get to Mark yet. Mark, what did you think about it?
I liked it. That's about it, really.
Okay, so you weren't blown away. You weren't depressed by it. You liked it.
No, I mean, obviously, you wait for these things to come out, and then you see that once again, for the most part, the people on Twitter are like, oh, God, it looks fantastic. It's like I can't do this every year. I really can't. You know, just the idea of this overly hyped for something we're gonna get every year starts to wear on me. You know, I could see getting hyped for episode 9 because it's the last one potentially in the Skywalker saga. I could see getting hyped for something different, but you know, at this point, it's like, all right, I want to see something new and something different. So for me, you know, Solo feels like a safe bet for the most part, or at least an easy bet. You know, you've got characters that people tend to like, and it should be pretty good.
Yeah.
All right. For the record, Josiah and Drew both say hi in the chat.
Hi, guys.
Hey, guys. And thanks to AJ for giving us a signal boost on Twitter as well.
All right. So just to kind of give a quick, you know, get to me here, I guess. I don't want to ask myself what I think, but that's kind of what I'm doing.
Hey, Tim, what do you think about the trailer?
That made it so much more smooth. Thank you. No, so what what I liked about it is that it was honestly for the first time, I think I genuinely did not have any expectations. I think I always did have a little bit before, but this time I was seriously just like, whatever you give me at this point, I'll just take it. And I think what I really liked about it was the overall tone and feel, because with Force Awakens and Rogue One and Last Jedi, there was a certain heaviness to the movies, and especially with Last Jedi, that was so heavily promoted in the material and the press and all that for it, like down to the logo being red and everything. Here, it was a completely different feel where it was more focused on being fun. And I can see, based off of the, it's just one teaser, but based off of this, I can see where it's more along the lines of something like, not similar to, but more like Ragnarok than something Phil Lord and Chris Miller might have done. So, like, I can see why they may have potentially had a disagreement, even if they're both supposed to be fun and funny or whatever. But I like the feel and the tone being lighter, fun. We know none of our childhood heroes are going to die in this one. So I think it's just going to be a nice, fun thing to go. Nothing groundbreaking, but enjoyable. All right, then.
Wait a second.
Ultimately, don't we just want a popcorn movie for once? You know.
Yeah, and that's what I think it's going to be.
Honestly, yeah, it looks fine.
I still think Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom looks better.
I agree with you.
I'm all in.
Yes. Wait a second. I agree.
Ragnarok. Armageddon.
Well, and like the director, J.A. Bayona, I believe it is, did Fallen Kingdom. And the only other movie of his I've seen was The Impossible, which was, I thought that was a really great movie. And I'm looking for, not to make this a Jurassic Park podcast, but you guys know I like that.
Hey, which one was The Impossible?
That was Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor with the tsunami.
Oh man, that movie was tough to watch. I loved it, but it was tough to watch.
Yeah, but it was really good. But I think
something about a monster.
Was that?
I don't know. I thought you did a movie about a monster that befriends a kid, but it could be wrong.
Oh no, that does sound familiar. But just the thing for me is that I think it can bring a nice level of intensity to it that was there, but not quite the same in Jurassic World. I feel like he can do a level of intensity that's closer to the 93 Jurassic Park. But like I said, that's kind of turning it into a Jurassic Park podcast. So getting back here, Andrew, I know you were starting to say something, but then I wanted to get Mark's opinion of the trailer. So do you remember what you were going to say?
Well, first of all, I agree with Mark that Jurassic World looks good. And I didn't like the first one, so like I was surprised that I liked the trailer, because I just assumed I would just keep hating everything they did. But yeah, I liked the trailer, and also Short Han was fine.
Yeah, so
like I don't mean that in like fine. I mean that in like fine.
Well, yeah, I wanted to. That's a good point. What did you think of Alden Ehrenreich and our first look at him as Han Solo?
I mean, he's like, you can't judge too hard because it's like 30 seconds total.
Right.
Yeah, but I feel like we aren't given anything. Like that's, and that maybe is why I feel so lukewarm. Like
at
I'm
the
not,
same time,
I'm not disappointed, but I'm not blown
still,
away.
It's still a little jarring seeing him next to standing next to Chewbacca, and he's like way, way shorter. And it's just like, but maybe I'm just shallow. So whatever.
No, I think you're shallow.
It's a very high possibility. that I'm just...
How many times did you bring up Short Han? Like twice now? you want to get that across?
Two or
that
three.
You think he's, yeah. You know, vertically challenged?
And why couldn't they get him? Why couldn't they get him little shoes with like?
I do enjoy what you bring to the podcast, though, because so far your comments have been that
I'm the most shallow, and I'm the only.
Well, we've got Amelia Clark is good looking but can't act for anything,
and you've got a complete dismissal of any disagreement, like a refusal to even acknowledge any disagreement of that right. opinion.
Because have you seen Game of Thrones? There is no disagreement.
Hey, well, I'm just all I'm saying is I can't judge an actor's ability as an actor based on even several performances. I can make it an educated guess, but I can't be an arbiter over every future performance, because I thought Freddie Prinze Jr. was a really, really crappy actor until I saw House of Yes, the one with Parker Posey. Like there's one movie he was in, he was really, really good. And like, I feel like sometimes people just get stuck in crappy roles and they get typecast, they get crappy directors, especially big stars. Like I don't know, like I don't think she does a bad job. She is a little wooden as a Danny, but I think that's also like the character is like shell shocked and putting on an act, and there's a lot of depth to her that I think is somewhat conveyed through the performance. But then again, I watched her in that Terminator movie and I was like, you suck. So
thanks for that high roading speech.
Well, I just feel like I personally am not willing to say she's always gonna be awful, even though I didn't argue with you at the time because I don't totally disagree. Like I don't think she's awesome in everything. So.
No, I'm not saying I want her to be bad forever. I'm just saying currently she is a wooden actress, but she's pretty, so it's okay. And it was that not displayed in the trailer? She had like one line that was like, like they had no emotion. I was like, okay, Amelia. Like, it's so weird because I follow her on Instagram and she's so like bubbly and fun and has so much personality. It like just doesn't come across in like her roles. It's really weird.
Well, that also could be perfect for this role, because for all we know, she might be a very wooden person.
Sure.
Hey, what if she's a robot? I don't know.
We don't know. I guess
she's not a robot.
Blade Runner crossover.
If we're gonna crap on actors, can I say something?
Yeah.
Oh no.
What's the deal with Danny Glover?
Donald Glover.
Sure. I don't understand.
I mean, Danny Glover, I'm hoping he'll do a cameo on the new Lethal Weapon TV show.
Have you watched?
That's my only thought. On Danny Glover.
Here's the thing. People are like, oh my God, he's Donald Glover's in it. But I don't think you give a crap about Lando. Because if you gave a crap about Lando, people would be talking more about Lando than they ever have. People like Donald Glover. And so they're excited that Donald Glover's in a movie. But they don't give a crap about Lando. But that's a character.
But I do think that's a bit of a... I don't know. I think that there might be some overlap. Like I feel like
The Venn diagram is very small. You've got Donald Glover fans. See,
I know a lot of people who feel passionately about both Donald Glover and Lando.
Really? Because I don't see much of the Lando.
It was a good casting pick.
Why? You haven't even seen him act as Lando, so how do we know?
Because I feel like I've seen
charming, like
I've seen a combination of his roles.
Listen, if you listen to Childish Gambino, he has like he's good at putting out like a persona, and I feel like Lando has like a cool like swagger.
Well, and I feel like too,
Donald Glover like naturally has that.
I feel like some of Lando's personality is like a put on is like Han, you know, it's like a put on. Personality, like as I've observed, so far we've only seen him fail at coming on to women. He acts like a ladies' man, but who has he been successful to, you know, coming on to? Nobody, you know. So Hera rejected, Leia, nope, nope. But he, I feel like it's got something in common with his character in Atlanta, where he's this underdog character, but at times he puts on an act and acts like he's much cooler than and more confident than he is, and he's able to find some success doing so. It's not the same character as Lando, but I feel like I've seen more from him than just his in his stand-up and his music and Community that gave me faith. Because like if we go back, if somebody listened to when people were just suggesting him, and even when they first announced his casting, I was very skeptical because I was like, I like him a lot, but I wasn't sure about him as Lando. But over time, I've seen enough other performances of him and seen him playing different roles and stretching as an actor that I feel more comfortable. Where I've only seen Alden Ehrenreich in one thing, and so I'm much less confident in his ability at this point. I'm not assuming he's going to fail. I just don't know. I don't feel like I have a good reason to have faith in him, but I do on Donald Glover. But
it just feels like more people love the idea of Donald Glover as Lando than they ever loved the idea of Billy Dee Williams as Lando. And I don't like
I think that also has to do with Billy Dee Williams was in the movie in the 70s, and this movie's coming out now.
It's 1983.
80s. Oh my god. Whatever. And he wasn't in the like Force Awakens or The Last Jedi.
I would like some credit.
I feel like people got pretty hyped when he was at whatever celebration.
I would like some credit though for falling on the grenade that was throwing you under
the bus.
Didn't
he go to one of the celebrations?
Look, I could tell you from personal experience, there wasn't a big line for him.
Well, that's sad.
Yes,
it seems cool.
He was the most recent celebration.
I don't think. Don't be mad about Donald Glover. It's not his fault.
I know. I get it. It's just like you see. It almost feels like. God, I don't know. It feels like when you've loved the band forever, and then all of a sudden they get a new album 20 years into it, and everyone's like, God, this is the greatest band ever. Have you heard them? It's like, listen, bitch, I've been listening to them for 20 years. Okay? I know how good Lando is. I'm glad somebody qualified is going to play him. I'm glad we don't have to worry about whether he could do a good job like Alden Ehrenreich. But at the same time, it's like, chill. We didn't see him do any lines yet.
I do know what you're saying, because I love Lando and I love Billy Dee. Like, and Billy Dee is Lando to me. Like, I remember Billy Dee being on SNL, you know, and as a host when I was a kid. And I remember, being so excited when he played Harvey Dent in Batman, thinking he was going to be Two-Face. Right. Like, being like, oh my God, Lando's going to be Two-Face.
I think it's a bit of like a generational thing.
No, I think it's absolutely a generational thing. And that's like, what I was kind
he's
of
just,
thinking.
He's like, just like, not in like the public, he's just not been in like the public eye.
No, people
just fine.
Who are a little younger than me aren't going to be as into him, and that's okay. I get where you're coming from, Mark. But on some level, it's kind of cool, like that people are going to get to love that character and who might not have ever had an affection for him otherwise, you know, and become connected to him. And it's like all these comic book characters and Star Wars becoming cool again. It's like, that's something that I never thought that the majority of people would have some frame of reference and understanding. It's all the stuff that formed my, childhood and shaped my worldview and my development. And now everybody knows what I'm talking about. it's kind of cool. Like, even though 20 years ago, none of these people had any idea what it was, they are super late to the game, but on some level, it is. It's lame because there are some people who are whatever posers still and kind of fake it or glom onto it. But I think it's, for the most part, it's just new people getting into it. And
no, I'm not saying posers. I'm just saying pay respects to the original.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. Like, and I feel like enough of the people who I follow, I've seen them talk about Billy Dee or talk about Lando before this movie enough. Some of the same people that I know that they like him. And I don't feel like this betrayal, but I do know what you mean. Like, I can see what you're saying. Like, you got to give credit where credit's due. And you said it a couple weeks ago, either on our most recent episode or the one before it. You said, that just as much as Harrison Ford is Han Solo, that Billy Dee is Lando, and I think that's true. Like the dude's name is William Chris or William December Williams. Like, it's the coolest name I've ever heard. And he's just like, even as an old man who can barely walk, he's incredibly cool. Like, he oozes coolness. Like, at Celebration, when he was talking to George Lucas at the big anniversary panel this year, like, or this last year, he was cool. He's like, most guys who are like 80 aren't cool anymore. Like, it's not their fault. They're 80, but he pulls it off.
Yeah, well, and there are a couple of things I want to mention, too, as far as people responding from our live thing here. One is that Blake said, I can't believe I'm actually saying something that Blake said.
Rejected. Vetoed. No, not at all.
So Blake said, Amelia couldn't act her way out of a wet paper bag, Jared.
All right.
So he said that.
Can we just have Blake's comments if they differ from Andrea?
I was gonna actually that does remind me, but Blake
he has different opinions than me.
I was gonna say that Andrea's comments earlier about short Han Solo and knowing Blake and his heightened, you know, taller than average proportions makes me think you're a heightist. You don't like those people.
Is he a tall guy?
Oh, Blake is tall. Blake's a tall drink of water. We got to it's another generational thing. You should have listened to more Randy Newman that wasn't Pixar music and getting this got his social satire, and you should have heard Short People, because that's an insidious prejudice.
Okay.
Listen, I'm 5'4", so.
Yeah. That's not short for a woman. The average height for a woman is like 5'6".
So I'm short.
Yep. You're barely.
So you just proved my point.
You're barely below average, like the baseline. That's the average. The average height for a man's 5'9". That would mean I'm tall. I'm not tall. I'm barely 6 foot.
I think we should all be happy with below averageness.
I agree with that.
All right. My height, Amelia Kirk's acting.
Yeah. My
Han 2.0's height.
Like, gross motor skills / rhythm / dancing ability is extremely below average, like into the negatives.
There's nothing wrong with it. We're all human. All
right. Hey, so we have another comment from Josiah, and it's a decent point.
Go on, Josiah. Is it a dream?
No, not a dream this time. But no, and like, I think there is a point and a counterpoint to be made. He says that no lines of dialogue in the trailer from Glover makes me a teeny tiny bit concerned. I got to hear dialogue from him before I'm full on board. So do you think it's more that – I think there are three options. A, they're trying to hide it because they weren't satisfied. B, it's one of the best parts of the movie and they're trying to keep that gem for a little later. Or C, they don't care, and it's just the way the trailer worked out.
I think it's just how the trailer worked.
Yeah, I could see.
That's kind of how I'm leaning too, because I feel like the shots of him just smiling were there for the tone, and the focus was really just for about Han. You know?
Yeah, like you don't get a whole lot of anybody's dialogue. Like, you know, like we don't get.
Yeah.
Like the reason why we get the line from Beckett is to give us the idea that it is a heist movie. You know, but like if there was a line where Han could have said that, they would have chosen that, but he didn't say it. So, yeah, that's my thinking. It's just economy of the trailer. And I think it's important to remember that it's very rare in these situations that the actual creatives have anything to do with the trailer. J.J. Abrams is super hands-on and weird and crazy and obsessive compulsive about
and
it.
Awesome.
But like, literally, I've listened to so many of these, like, directors' commentaries, and, like, J.J. Abrams and Ben Stiller are the only directors who I've heard of who actually get in on the final cuts of these commercials. It's usually a completely different editor editing it. It has nothing to do with the movie. So whose job is to edit trailers? So like, I don't really think we can read too much into that.
And Josiah did also say that in the full trailer, since this was a teaser, it might be there too. And I think that also lends itself, because that is a good point. And I think that lends itself to, again, that would just be the way that this teaser worked out.
Oh, yeah. If like the third TV spot is like, we still haven't heard anything from him, then maybe we should start thinking about it.
I mean, but even in that scenario, like I said, it could be a gem that they're saving.
That's true.
It's funny, though, how much actual, I don't know, if I guess you can't really use a poster as any sort of guide, but he's not that big on the poster. Sorry. I'm not talking about his Lando poster. I'm talking about the poster that has all of them together. He's definitely smaller than Kira or whatever her name is.
Quinoa.
Quinoa. He's definitely smaller than her, but you know, Rose was teeny tiny and she actually had a somewhat decent role, so.
Yeah.
I can't be the first person who made the quinoa joke. Like, please. I would be so disappointed in our fandom if I am.
Probably out there somewhere.
It has to be.
Just Google. Never mind. Anyways.
I'm sure. I don't even want to think if I at the weirdness that could come up.
No, it's too late. I am Googling that. Let's see. Oh, it's just all quinoa. That's kind of boring.
Quinoa Star Wars.
Oh, wait, what's this? This is a Solo Energy Bar Apple Cinnamon with quinoa. There's that.
Oh, God. And it's sold at Wegmans.
Disney should have purchased that and used it as sold at Wegmans.
Buy a ticket, get a free one of those.
Yeah.
Okay,
it would have been awesome though if somehow they could do a tie-in with the Red Cups for it.
Yeah.
You could have Solo drinking out of like a galactic red cup.
Han Solo is the official sponsor of frat parties everywhere.
if it's very fitting, no?
It is. Well, it's like it's a May movie. It's the story of him as a frat boy. Like, you know, it makes perfect sense.
Wow. See, I both like and regret occasionally checking Twitter while we do, especially the live shows, because it works because I get stuff like Blake's comment, and then it doesn't work because I see this tweet that says Porg Valentine cookies. So I'm just going to move on.
You know, if they make stuff like Porg bears, like gummy bears, I'd love to eat the heads off those things.
Yeah, I can see. Yeah.
If they don't have giant chocolate porgs for Easter, then they're stupid. Just saying.
Oh, like peeps, but porgs, he said?
Yeah, like peeps, like freaking bunnies. Like, come on.
Easter's such a problem. It really is. They had a giant chocolate cross that you're supposed to eat, and I was like, come on.
It's so weird. That's
sick.
It's sick, and it's weird. It is. That's a really bizarre friend of mine, stepdad, when I was a kid, once just went off on a tirade. He's this guy who was at PTSD from the first Gulf War, and he's just an odd dude before that. But he was went off on this tirade about how really, really kind of sick and twisted it is that we use the cross as a symbol at all. He's like, if Jesus died now, it was just a method of execution. Like, we'd have a lethal injection. You know, people be wearing a syringe around their neck or an electric chair, depending on what state you lived in. I'm like, that's insane. Like that's, you have a good point, but you're saying it like somebody's like hurting Jesus, like right now. Like you're saying it like it was like imperative that we do something about it. And I was like, no, dude, like, I'm pretty sure it's just an interesting thought that you had, that it's a good one, but valid point, maybe not urgent.
Well, okay, but I need to say this, because if I don't, then we're not going to get to this tonight, so I'm just going to go right there.
Best segue ever.
Right? So we knew that, you know, J.J. Abrams doing episode 9, that's going to be the last for the Skywalker episode movies for a little while at least. Because then Rian Johnson's got his trilogy he's going to be working with. And then, of course, as you've all heard by now, there's another series of movies for Star Wars coming out that are going to be written and produced by the people whose names I'm not going to pronounce. D.B. Weiss, I got that one.
Black and White. B&W.
So those guys, the people who are behind Game of Thrones for TV, they're going to be doing writing and producing their own series of Star Wars movies. And from what I read, originally Disney went to them to try and get them to do the Star Wars series, like the TV show, for lack of a better phrase, but the series. And apparently they declined that opportunity for the series of films that they wanted to do instead. So, and there was a specific genre reportedly that they wanted to, or a time frame in Star Wars that they wanted to work with as well. So they kind of knew what they wanted before they even agreed to do it. So this is it's interesting, but what do the three of you see that they could bring to Star Wars? And we'll start with Andrea.
Why?
Because you randomly were chosen.
it's worth it just for that intro.
I don't know. It sounds fine. There's been a lot of hubbub about it on the Twitter, and I'm just kind of sick of seeing about it now. I'm like, okay.
But like, no. I said though, because you watched Game of Thrones, so, and you, did you
I
read
do
the books?
Game of Thrones, and you know, yes, I did read the book. So it's hard because they're chosen to write the series, right?
Yeah.
They're
not
chosen to direct.
Write and produce.
It's weird,
yeah.
Because the like backbone of the Game of Thrones series wasn't written by them. Like they wrote the past season, I guess, which was a good season. So I mean, there's that, but like. The actual like, story and the world building, they didn't do that. So I'm wondering, like, I'm guessing they're probably want to do something where it's already laid out for them a little bit. That's what I would guess, like, that they don't have to, like, come up with the entire things themselves. Because I don't even know if they, like, have that ability. Like, I don't know. We don't know from Game of Thrones because they didn't make those characters. They made the last season. The last season was arguably the best season, so that's good. But they also aren't direct, like they're writing. We don't know who the director's gonna be yet. So I mean, like there's just not a lot of information.
Well, we don't know what they've been given.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Obviously, the story group is responsible for something. And so we don't know if there's a germ of an idea somewhere that the story group said, hey, you know, here's what we'd like to see if you could flesh out. And the guy, and they're like, oh, yeah, we could definitely do that. You know, as these movies move along, we end up finding out more and more that some of the things that we find to be controversial were stuff that's been set in stone before Disney even bought it. You know, I think the news is that Han Solo as a movie was thought up by Lucas and Kasdan before Disney even bought it. So people complaining about that, it came from him. People complaining about, you know, Luke giving up and going and living on seclusion on an island, it didn't come from Ryan Johnson. It came from George Lucas. So who knows what sort of marching orders they've been given or direction they've been given, if any. You know, right now, we don't know, but they could be told what to say. Or not told what to say, but they could be given the idea and then just, you know, flesh it out.
Right.
And like I said, with them having a specific time frame that they knew they wanted to work with, it's might be interesting to see how much they're given and how they adapt that to what they wanted to do. You know what I mean? Or the other way around, how they take what they wanted to do and adapt that to what they were given.
And the thing is that I know we don't want to get into that much, but you know, sadly the conversation on Twitter aren't whether these guys can do the job, rather the conversation is about somebody else should be given the job. And I get it. I get that that's a conversation that people want to have, but you know, bottom line, you look at the guys that were given the job and can they do it? I tend to think they can. You know, they just, it sounds like they're going to be able to deliver on Game of Thrones. You know, they've done excellent in putting together, you know, that the book is so tough, you know, even when you're listening to it or reading it and it's so tough what these guys managed to do to boil it down into something that has a thorough, you know, that people can understand pretty easily. It's a big task. So I do think it's a good idea for Disney to lock these guys up. I do think it's a good idea that they have these guys in the Star Wars universe. The other conversations that people want to have, I respect it. I understand it. But, you know, I'm just looking at whether these guys are good for Star Wars, and I think they are.
I'm very conflicted about it from that perspective alone, just from, like, the thinking about it logically, because I do agree, but, like, I agree with the other side of the conversation that's being had quite a bit. It just is in that I would like to see an actual difference in their hiring patterns. But I also have, you know, said in conversations, if not online, immediately following, but I basically what you said, that like financially I understand why Lucasfilm or Disney or both, you know, made this call and approached them, because it makes sense. Like they're successful people who are really good at what they do, you know, as far as making money and getting critical acclaim. So in their business, like I get hiring them. But it also, the pattern that they've had of hiring these people who are popular and are super popular and have super good critical acclaim hasn't really been a hugely like smooth sailing operation so far. And for me, seeing how Solo turns out, because this is the one that had the most tumultuous behind the scenes, it seems like, is going to, for me, kind of decide how much faith I have in their behind the scenes process. Because after Force Awakens, I was like, they know what they're doing. Kathleen Kennedy can do no wrong. But at this point, I'm like, everything's turning out okay. Like, it's nothing's awful. Like, but, you know, Rebels is disappointed all of us. And that's on their watch. And Filoni's still in charge of animation. And I don't know. And the movies just keep on having more and more of a mess behind everything. But the hiring of these writers is the same basic pattern, not just in terms of them being middle-aged white dudes, but just in terms of they're really popular dudes, and they don't really have a proven track record in this. Like, they don't have proven track records as screenwriters for film, which I'm fine with, but I've seen other people make the points saying that people have to have proven themselves in the same area or same arena in film instead of in television. And only one of them has any film credits to his name, and it's very mixed, both in terms of financial and critical acclaim, like financial success, like mixed results. Some are successful and some are not. So I don't know. Like I'm sure they're going to do a good job and do something interesting. I don't know. I'm really curious to see how Lucasfilm and how Star Wars evolves and how better they are at picking people. Like if this just goes smooth and they nobody leaves and the first people they hire to direct actually do direct it. And it'll be really interesting.
I agree. And it's jarring when you see like stats from like Marvel or even like DC of how diverse their behind the scenes are compared to Star Wars, which is just like.
But they also had 18 all white movies dudes at this point.
But
instead of just three,
yeah,
you know?
Wait,
hold on,
right.
hold on. What?
What?
Who was the cinematographer on Solo? No, get back to me on it.
Okay.
Go ahead and Google it.
Do you want to tell me, or do you want to get all high and mighty?
I'm not getting high and mighty. It's just if you're going to do a blanket statement about it's all white dudes, maybe you know that there's a black Academy Award nominated cinematographer who did Solo.
I think that
people are referring to writers
and directors. And right. Like, absolutely. Like, I don't know.
Which was the end of my point when you interrupted me. If you let me finish, I was about to say that Star Wars hit. What? Will you let me finish? All right. So I was going to say that Star Wars is a lot younger than these franchises. So when you see that stuff, it seems jarring. But it's like, I mean, you have to give them a little time to catch up, even though it's frustrating. And I get that people are frustrated with it. So you can go ahead now, Mark.
No, I'm good. Thanks.
All right.
So, did anybody figure out how to pronounce that guy's name, by the way? Does anybody know?
Benioff?
Sounds good to me. I'm always afraid.
Benioff, like, Benioff and Weiss? I don't know. They wrote a really funny episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Well, because, like, yeah, like, Weiss, okay, got that. Shouldn't be a problem. But I don't want to mispronounce, like if it's supposed to be. You know how some names are. And no. Yeah. okay, so I think I've said this before. I'm not a Game of Thrones watcher, so I can't really contribute much to the conversation as far as what they've done with that series and how they've adapted it from the books to the TV and whatnot. So I really just can't comment on that, but I'm just going to trust that what I've heard about it has been great. So hopefully they can come out with something good here. And I will be interested to see what director we get for it, because so far we know how it's gone with Star Wars directors recently. So it'll be interesting to see how they're able to pull in to do that. Because everybody, in a way, wants to direct a Star Wars movie, you know. But it's also kind of got a little bit of a reputation now. So, but that goes for almost every Star Wars movie going forward too. The Rian Johnson series after the one, because he's writing and directing the first one, but not necessarily the second. Is that right? Is that what I heard? Mm-hmm. I think I heard that he would not be directing at least the second of his series. At least not now. But
I wanted to thank you, Tim, because you said that I know you referred to the Johnson trilogy correctly as a trilogy, but I've seen so many other things misattribute or misquote the original story and say that B&W are going to do a trilogy. But they didn't say that. They said they're going to do a series of films.
Right.
And you said that, and I appreciate it that you actually got it right. I had a feeling that your robot logic would get it right.
It was programmed into me to say it properly. That's tonight, right. So, apparently.
It's just like, come on, guys. Like, we don't know. It's a trilogy. It might be.
It might be
a quadrilogy. It might be two movies. We don't know. It might be a duology. We have no idea.
Yeah. And honestly, if it's super unsuccessful, it might be one. We just don't know.
I mean, it feels like it's unlikely.
Yeah,
but who knows?
To a number of them.
And weird stuff happens. Like
they might get fired before it's over.
That's also true. But like just movies that should be huge on paper sometimes aren't. So could not be that big, you know.
So let me ask this, because I know we're getting kind of close to the end of what we were going to be talking about, but and this is hypothetical, but it kind of is good to get your opinions. I want to ask each of you, if you were in this position where you were offered to write and produce a series of Star Wars films with these guys saying that they know what era they wanted to work in, let me ask each of you, if you were in that position, what era of Star Wars would you want to make your movie in, or movies in? And let's start with Jared.
I want to do young Yoda, so it'd be like not the early days of the Republic, but like pre-Palpatine. It'd be like, I don't know, 800 years ago, 700 years ago.
Okay, are lightsabers new technology, or?
Oh no, that we know that's not the case from the stories, you know, like with temples and whatnot, and the stories of the Sith, whatnot, and the different artifacts they've found. So no, lightsabers have been around. So it's like it's technology. I imagine isn't going to be super different, maybe a little bit less developed, but lightsabers are the same. I don't know. The era wouldn't be that different, I guess. It'd just be a different environment, different style.
Okay.
And I just want to write and produce it. I'd get Brian Henson involved, or maybe James Bobin, who did the newest Muppet movies.
Well, let me go now to Mark, because I feel like you probably don't really care, but I want to ask you anyway, because there is no Boba Fett era for Star Wars movies. So.
Well, you could just say the Boba. the Boba Fett era.
What Jared said, I think that's a great idea. We've talked about this many times. It's probably the best. You've had the science fiction side or the technological side of the
right
of Star Wars. You started to get a little bit into the more mystical side. Just go all the way. Just go full fantasy instead of anything even slightly resembling technology. I'd rather see that or just the life of a poor rancor farmer would be fine for me. That might be interesting as well.
Like even like a soft story pitch idea for the Yoda thing, like he could have a Jedi adventure that brings him back to his home planet, because I'm sick of the preciousness of that. Like I don't even want to meet more of his species, but I'm just thinking like him being in a jungle that he grew up in or something is kind of interesting.
What if
like,
he didn't grow up in a jungle though?
Oh no! I'm fine if it's a city. But like, still, it could still feel like a Muppet City or a Dark Crystal City. You know what I mean? Like, it could still, like, maybe he lives in Fraggle Rock. Is all I'm saying. Like, he's got dozers who, and they eat their buildings.
I think with something like that, it's best to leave it to a mystery. Like, the minute you saw where the aliens came from in the whole, alien, Prometheus.
But I feel like there's no origin story to Yoda's species. It's not like he came from like a lotus blossom. He's not Buddha, but like he's just he's just a guy in a line of guys with a bunch of other cool looking aliens. Like I'm with you about the mystery, but like if Yoda's, just remember that Padawans were still like 25 years old. If he's a young Jedi Knight. They never implied that Obi-Wan's held back. So it's not weird for you to be 25 and still not become a knight yet. And so I feel like if he's a young knight, he could be like in the way he ages, he could be like 50. It doesn't have to be like his origin story. And just seeing him as a younger man, I feel like he's a really good avenue, and you could do a brand new character. I just feel like he's the perfect character to interact with that kind of fantasy-esque Muppety magic world, like because he is a Muppet. And yeah,
all right, well, and let's check with Andrea what era you would like to do if you were in that position.
I would honestly, it sounds like a nightmare. I would not want to deal with Star Wars fans or Star Wars Twitter ever professionally. I don't even want to deal with them like
now
as someone who just enjoys Star Wars. Yeah. Like it sounds like I've just been thinking about it since you guys have brought this up and I'm like, oh, like I would have to like
change your name.
Yeah. Delete my online presence.
You direct that thing as like Floriana.
But
well, even now you've got people who are just like fed up and leaving Star Wars Twitter now as it is. It's just like you said, it's toxic.
Well, it's just like it's just exhausting. Like I don't like. There's only so many multiple rants I want to read in like one day. Like,
so get a blog. The shorthand rants?
No, I just want people to get a blog or to condense a little bit.
Well, I finally noticed on Twitter that if you want to make your own thread, it's very easy, which certainly doesn't help some people.
But those
people have blocked me and or muted me since in the past few weeks, so it makes it easier not to see it. I don't have to pretend anymore.
To pick an era, I don't know. I'd still really like to do young Leia. I'd love to make Princess of Alderaan into a movie still. I think should be. I stand by it.
I know it's obvious fan casting, but Millie Bobby Brown would be really good.
Not for much longer.
No, I mean, She's like 13. I think she's got 13. She's got like a 4 or 5 year window. She can pull it off probably, but then she'll start to look like her own person. And but by then anyway, we'll be ready to recast those guys like her and Mark. We'll be able to have younger versions of them. It'll be far enough away, I think. Weird.
Yeah, because like
what
I remember
you, Tim.
Oh,
he almost got away with it. Not answering his own question.
I mean, you know, offhand, I really like the idea of going between the prequel and original trilogies. I think that's a nice sweet spot to have some good stories in there. So, I mean,
Rebels era then, or like earlier than Rebels?
Early, because like Rebels and Rogue One are both leaning straight up to the original trilogy, even with Rebels and Rogue One overlapping, and then Rogue One overlapping into A New Hope, right? So, but there's like 20 years, not just the last three.
I got you. The story that you want to tell is Max Rebo when he's just right going into music school. It's like he's a young man.
Space Juilliard or something? I don't know.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. It's Space Fame. I really want to see this movie.
Well, if Kathy Kennedy's listening, she can hire me and you'll get it, Jared.
I think we could really pull this off. Like we could do the whole thing. It's like Spinal Tap, but it's Max Rebo. It's a mockumentary.
We get the best ideas originated right here on this show.
This is Max Rebo.
Yeah.
Hey, before we end it, or I don't know what we're moving on to, but can I ask a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Okay, so along the same lines of where do you go with it, if you're responsible for hiring some creators, who would you personally like to see them hire right now
for your own series?
No, not for your own series, for anything. Who do you think, who would you like to see you know, be responsible for either a new movie, a series of movies, a television show? You know, what comes to your mind as far as somebody that you think that you would like to see Lucasfilm hire?
Well, I have one thought. I don't know if anyone else has anything off the top of their head, but I was recently thinking about how I do feel like Filoni. I've said before, I feel like Lucas and Filoni really complemented each other and compensated for each other's failures and or the areas where they were lacking more. And I think he's really kind of fallen off the rails without George's ideas for him to kind of develop and implement, for him to just be in charge of both or work with the story group. It hasn't worked for me as much. So I'd kick him off of cartoons and I'd replace him with the guys who do a Voltron Legendary Defender right now, like Joaquin Dos Santos, who did Justice League and Korra and Avatar and Clone Wars. And there's several other people who work on it as well. Just do a really great job.
So
I think it, even along those lines, not to cut anybody else, but it would be awesome to at least have a rotating team of if we're gonna have different, you know, directors and writers responsible for different movies, how about having a different group of people in there responsible for a different series? You know, like you said, you know, these guys, Joaquin Dos Santos could do a series, and then bringing somebody else to do a different series after that. Let's not have it be the full.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be one guy who's doing it forever. Like
yeah. Like how we should get rid of EA after their contract is up.
I've heard people talk about that.
Yeah, but like who else do you get?
Someone who will make the single player game that I have been dreaming about.
Like? Like the only one I could think of would be Naughty Dog. They would be great, but they're not going to do it.
Whoever will do it.
Nintendo.
I actually think
Nintendo.
That's a really good
idea. Give it to Nintendo. Actually, that would be awesome. Can you imagine? Oh my god, now great. I'm thinking about it.
Oh no.
So many games for the Switch. Oh no, I'm gonna be so sad when it doesn't happen.
Lauren Montgomery was the other person who's in charge of Voltron right now, and who also worked on Korra as well. I think she worked on Avatar, was like an executive producer on Korra. But no, I think that's a really good idea, Mark, for them to rotate through the animated series stuff and not just have it be one person shepherding the whole thing forever. Because, I don't know, like, it doesn't need to be. It doesn't need to be one person. At this point, right now, 2008 to 2018, Filoni's entering his 11th year in charge of all of Star Wars animation. So
that's wild.
It's a long time.
along the same lines, like I don't have an issue with the Game of Thrones guys doing it, but right now, so there's potentially six movies who's just under two different groups. There's Rian Johnson's three, and there's their three. It's like, okay, these could be really fantastic, but you know, not everything needs to be a trilogy. I don't understand it.
Yeah, like how about have one of these guys do an awesome movie and then have another voice? That way we just have more variety of films and voices and creators, and all these different things are going to be coming out. I think I think they're a money-making machine, and eventually they'll grow to that point, but it's just they're growing organically. Like it feels like that's what Disney does. They purchase these companies, and they do influence them, and they do grow them. But they don't just tell them. They don't go in and say, "You're Disney now, and you're gonna work like Disney." You know, Marvel was already being turned into this media thing. They already made Iron Man and Hulk, and were starting to develop other stuff on the film side when they were purchased. Like they weren't Disney yet, you know. Disney purchased Pixar earlier on when they had a really good working relationship with them, but they didn't make them do what they were doing with their films. They in fact did the opposite and started mimicking Pixar's formula. And it's like, I feel like it's the same way where we're not just going to copy Marvel, but at the same time, you know, in just over 10 years, Marvel has 18 movies, and in 3 years they have three movies, you know. like they're going so much slower, like, and it's okay, but you don't have to do three or four a year, but you could do two, and you could do one every 9 months and change it up and do, if they're not gonna have them all be on Christmas and they're not gonna have them come out every year, like anyway, and they're gonna have weird schedules, then they might as well I don't know, give some new voices and some different variety. I like that idea.
And see, Mark, you ask about the creative people, and I listen to the wording you use, and this does apply, because my thought is Alan Silvestri. I'm still waiting for him to do some Star Wars thing.
Oh, I don't want to forget. The music was my favorite part of the, especially the first super teaser, the teaser of the teaser. But overall, I dug how it like felt. Like that retro 80s vibe that's around right now. I want everyone else to say who their creatives are, but I didn't want to forget.
and like, yeah, I want to hear what John Powell's doing for it. Anyway, that's an aside.
Anna, if you choose somebody, or your thing was just get
I would it. Like, I would like different Star Wars genres for like everything, like Star Wars doing other things, like. I would like if, like, none of this will ever happen, but if the people who made, like, Parks and Rec and The Good Place made, like, a Star Wars series, like, that would be amazing. If, like, if Jordan Peele made a Star Wars movie, I would think he would do something awesome. So I'd pick him, or...
So, yeah. Along those lines, give me a Star Wars horror movie.
Yeah, like just like different,
or like, even like a thriller, like you know.
Yeah, like something a little darker, or like someone showed a clip of from this Han Solo trailer where it showed Emilia Clarke and like the shadow was hitting her, and it looked like film noir. I just like different kind of, like someone should make like a spy. There's so much stuff because it's just anything. Like you could really do. At some point, we're gonna probably associate just Star Wars and space, and any space movies are gonna be a Star Wars movie, like in 2050. So there's really anything anyone will be able to do with it eventually, but I don't know. I think for now, if we start like expanding some genres that it goes in, would be fun.
I like that. And like you said before, Mark, about you know, spaghetti westerns, and like I feel like there's just so much stuff that like lends itself naturally to Star Wars that they haven't really explored yet that they could do that. And yeah, no, noir and spaghetti westerns like both really fit in with just the original vibe of Star Wars too, where he's where Lucas was like doing old serial style, you know.
See, here's the question about the Game of Thrones guys. Do they specifically say films or do they say a series?
I think they said series of films. I thought that's what it said.
I thought it said like, yeah.
I know it's a series. Like I like personally, I'd much rather these guys do a television series.
I would too.
Or a series of movies for the Disney streaming service. I'm down for it. I'm excited. But I just think this again, this locking the next six movies are locked up with basically just two teams.
Well, yeah.
And what if the first movie fails in each one of these, or it's horrible, or it's well, you know, not well received? What are you gonna do then?
Well, because I mean, yeah, they were initially in conversations with Disney Lucasfilm about a series, probably for the streaming service. But then they said, like, thanks, we want to do movies. And then they're like, all right, fine, you can have a series of movies, is what the reports are saying.
What? Well, the movies, hey, Netflix has shown that movies can be anywhere.
Yeah.
They don't have to just be in the theater.
No, I mean, that's true.
Give the guys three two-hour movies and throw it on the Disney streaming service. I don't know. I don't have as big an issue that some people have with them. I just think the idea of locking, you know, when you decide on a group of people and you say, here, you get three movies, and you decide on another group of people and you say, here, you get three movies, or like we're talking about Filoni, here, you get the next animated. It's like, okay, well, when are we going to get something new and fresh from some people? I mean, it may be the greatest thing ever coming, but it may not. I don't know.
And there's just a lot of repetition.
I'm excited for them. Like I see hope. I see why people are getting frustrated and fed up, and I get it. But it's hard because I really like Game of Thrones.
Yeah, I think they're gonna do something good.
I think they'll do well. I mean, I do want them to switch it up a little bit.
No, I was just gonna say, like, along the lines of what Mark was just saying, and just what you said about, you know, agreeing that they should switch it up. It's just, you know, they're gonna have JJ has done two, Ryan will have done four in some capacity, and you know, even if he doesn't direct all of them, like Tim, you were just saying, these guys are gonna write more than one, you know, two, maybe more than that, like. It's just so many of these movies are going to be done by the same small group of dudes. Like let's change it up. Come on, guys. Kathleen, you know, said that she wanted to give more new voices a chance. And it's like, there's a lot of new people proving themselves out there. And
yet the funny thing is the two people most responsible for Ron Howard getting hired were two ladies. If you read the article, it's Kathleen Kennedy and I'm sorry, the lady that passed away recently. I don't remember her name. The producer for Lucasfilm or whatever. They were both the ones that said, yeah, we should hire him.
Well, and he's not only a known quantity in film, but like he's a known quantity at Lucasfilm. And it's like I can't hate on it. Willow's my jam, but it's the same at the same time. Like it's just like. I feel like Ron Howard is like mate without hiring George Lucas specifically, he's is most more the same as you could possibly have gotten, you know, in that situation. Like it's like, oh, let's pick a guy who super safe, like just the safest.
Can we just agree to bring Willow into the Star Wars universe somehow?
I would be so happy. And still, her origin fits with my idea to make her a Laura Dannon because that sounds exactly like Mad Mardigan trading her for drinking money. I mean, come on, that's like grade A, exactly right out of page one of Mad Mardigan's playbook. He'd have regretted it. He would have spent the rest of his life looking for her on Jakku in the wrong spot on Jakku, like drunk. But he would have, he was a screw up. He was a lovable scamp. and Kevin Pollak would be in it, would be in Star Wars. It'd be good for all of us. It'd be good for everybody.
So I just want to mention that we do have, if you guys remember Joey from Twitter, right? The awesome one?
Yes!
Like the awesome one, yeah. So he is here, and he's in the chat, and he's saying that, first off, he said hi. And he's also saying that he hopes Solo does well so that the one and dones can be done more often. He's a little, not fearful. I need to scroll back up to see it. He's a little worried about locking down directors for trilogies. Like,
yes.
Yeah. And like, yeah, I get it. It's a big commitment to make in a significant advance, you know? So I mean, and we'll see, you know, because right now you're right. Like they did Rogue One, they did Solo, and so far it seems like that's all they're doing with the one-off movies. So I guess we'll just have to see. Maybe they're experimenting and they'll learn from it. I don't know.
They didn't say for the Game of Thrones dude that it's a trilogy, right?
No, they just said a series of films.
Well, and so maybe they're producers for the next Star Wars
stories.
Right. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be.
And don't forget Joey and all of us and everybody in general. There's a third component that we're not thinking of. You know, they said that Ryan gets a trilogy that is not the continuation of the Skywalker saga, and that is an area of Star Wars that has never been touched before. And these guys are doing their own thing in an era they already had in mind. And they also said that they're going to continue the stories of Rey and Poe and Finn.
Yes, they did.
So that's not either of those things. That's not what they hired these two guys to do. I just don't believe that. They're like, no, we're not going to do your TV show. We're going to take over your main franchise, and you're going to give it to us right now. And it's like, nope, that's not. They would have said that they're doing episodes 10, 11, and 12. Like, nope, that's not what happened. And they didn't say they're doing the new solos about those guys. Like when they make those announcements, we'll know. But there's more coming on the film front that they haven't announced yet, in addition to the Ghost of Obi-Wan movie that everyone says is happening.
Well, the good thing, too, is, like, let's say Solo does take off somewhat. I mean, let's just say it's a decent success. You could easily just, you know, do a one-shot or a series on their streaming service real quick. Or everyone loves good old Donald Glover's Lando. Then you have a Lando series on the streaming service or whatever.
Yeah, or a Lando movie. Like, or they could do one. They could do one Lando movie, like, and it could still be a huge movie, and they could still take their time doing it. But it doesn't have it. They're going to eventually expand Lucasfilm, right? Like right now, it's just still smaller than these other companies than Pixar became or than Marvel was. You know, even. In a lot of ways, like as far as how many movies they're producing this far in, and they're slower to expand, but they're going to eventually because they're a money-making machine and they're being fueled by the biggest money-making machine in the world that is also like a monster that won't stop until it conquers everything. Like it's buying Fox. They're not going to stop at one standalone movie if they make a bunch of money. I don't think. I think we're safe.
Bring Trink back for the sequel.
He's had his time out.
Yeah. he's calmed down. He hasn't done anything, has he?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything. Right.
Like, should we have a hashtag like free Trink?
Yeah,
I think so. You can handle that one. I just remember him and avowed creep, like known creep Max Landis, like trying to distance themselves from each other. like I'm the reason the Chronicle is good. Screw you, I am. like they just were not cool with each other when everything shook out. When both of them looked really bad for different reasons.
All right. You know what, though? I'm just checking everything, and we actually are getting pretty close to time that we need to go. So I don't believe there was anything else we were going to discuss. I know we had to have the Solo trailer discussion and the new series of Star Wars films. That's a little important. Other than that, that's really the things that we needed to cover. So
yep.
We are – this is episode 90, wanted to let everybody know. So in 10 more episodes, that means we'll be at 100 if you didn't do that math instantly in your head.
Nice, Tim.
Yeah, yeah. So let us know if there's anything. Like, I'm coming up with some ideas, but I do want to hear any ideas that anybody else has. If there's something you want to hear from us for episode 100, because that's a noticeable thing for podcasts, to get to triple digits. So let me know if you have anything particular that you would like to hear us do. I keep wanting to say see us do, but that doesn't really work. So anyway. Thank
you. Should do a video broadcast, and you should wear like a mask.
I feel like that's not going to exactly be what we do, but all right. I'll take the suggestion as a suggestion.
Throw it out there.
It doesn't hurt. So, all right. So that's that. And thank you all for being on. And I'm happy we're able to get back and do this tonight. And thank you, everybody, for listening who stopped by live. This was fun. I always enjoy doing the live ones and the interaction that we get to do. And except for Blake, he can stop tweeting at us whenever he wants to stop.
Hey.
Anyway, what? There's nothing wrong with...
Shut up.
It's an...
Thanks, everyone.
We love you, Blake. But yes, you should shut up.
No. Hey.
No, I was agreeing.
Don't be rude to our fans.
I appreciate that Twitter has turned into a love affair between Blake and Andrea and Shaq. That is
And Shaq.
Shaq's hilarious.
Shaquille O'Neal.
He's so That's funny.
A, as long All as right. people don't think he was in a movie that didn't exist, or that, or no, they know the movie he was in. They think Sinbad was in a movie.
So
hey, we should all watch Steel. For homework for the next
next week's Steel Talk, since we're gonna have so little to talk about.
So what I'm gonna
do? might have Rebels next week.
Oh, is Some Rebels coming early? Is that right?
Next Monday.
Oh snap! Oh yeah, if it goes early.
Well, yeah, if it's next. Monday, we won't be able to talk about it.
Unless it goes
Jared
early
I
online.
Do pretty well. Well, we're gonna spoil it. So.
Oh yeah, because yeah, I care at this
I'm
point.
I'm sorry if we get to watch it early and Kanan just dies, we're gonna talk about it. Like, you guys can put your fingers in your ear and go la la la. Well, Mark and I
All right.
just talk about how like they finally did it. They finally killed it.
Okay,
I'm gonna
all right.
pull. I'm gonna pull on the internet what people did to Star Trek Discovery. I'm gonna see it early and be like, ooh, guess what? Well, I thought it was okay to spoil something that was just out on my TV, on my DVR, but not for you.
Mark, that ended last night, so you could do the free trial. How many are there total?
Yeah.
Oh, like maybe 13, something like that.
How long is the free trial? Is it a week or?
I think it's a week.
Okay, I might. Oh boy, this is some work right
it
here.
Might, it might,
you
might
do that.
Let me double check and see how long it
no,
is.
No, I'm still trying to get the show. Altered Carbon and what else? Altered Carbon's pretty good, by the way.
I haven't seen it yet.
It's good.
Okay, so
I'm waiting for people to see it and not like it, but it's good.
Let me just tell you guys now what's going to happen is I'm just going to start playing the outro music, and then I'm going to stop recording. Right. And if you're still talking, I'm sorry, but it won't be recorded, okay?
Okay.
Having said that, don't take advantage of what I just said either.
No, I actually got to go pick up my son, so...
15 episodes, actually. So it'd be more than two a day.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Here. All right, music happening.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
I'm out later.
No, it's still going to be.
Well, whatever. I'm going to go pick up my son. I'm pointing at your music.
Oh, you know what? Bye. We're